Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph. We are actually coming off a Machlokes. A Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan holds the brother who does the Chalitza, the brother who does the Yibam, is actually representing all his siblings. It's as though they all experienced that experience with him. Rish Lakish, on the other hand, holds no. This specific brother who did the Chalitza, who did the Yibam, to him, this Yibam is a Chalutza, which case, continued involvement with her, being a Kaddisher, marrying her after the Chalitza, entails a love. Between them, there's a love. But that's unique to him and to her, because he is her chalitz. She is his chalutza. But that's it. As far as the other brothers are concerned, the ones who did not do chalitza, we have Reuven who passed away, left behind Rachel, we have Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Shimon did the chalitza. He is the chalitz. To him, she is a chalutza. In which case, there's the pasuk, kivin shebana, shevlo yivna, we have the drasha, there's a love involved regarding remarrying the chalitza. But when it comes to other brothers who were never involved in the chalitza experience, to them she's an ordinary sister-in-law, and there's karas between them. So a fundamental machlekes, Rabbi Yochanan says, all brothers have participated in the chalitza, in which case she's a chalitza. She's assumed the chalitza status with respect to all brothers, and there's a lav between all of them. Their continued involvement with this isha entails a lav and not karis, because she's a chalutza. She's no longer an ordinary sister, no, she's a yevama who went through chalitza. Whereas Rish Lakish holds, no. The one who was involved with her, to him she's a chalutza. And between them there's a lav. But the other brothers, they're just plain brothers-in-law. And therefore, there's karis between them. This was discussed yesterday, and we actually ran into trouble. We had a braisa, which seemed to present conflicting halachas. The braisa began where Reuben passes away, leaves behind the Yevama, Rachel, Shimon does chalitza, and he is going to be mekadesher again. He's going to remarry after the chalitza, which is an iser, it's a lav. He passes away. The surviving brothers need to do chalitza to this isha, which seems to indicate that there's only love between her and the brothers. And that's why chalitza is in place, because if she was an ordinary sister-in-law, which entails karis, she's an erva. There's nothing going on. There's no chalitza or yibum between her and the brothers. This halacha seems to follow Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Then the braisa tells us, well, if Reuben passes away, Rachel's the yevama, Shimon does the chalitza, and Levi gets up and does Kiddushin after Shimon's Chalitza, invalid. Doesn't take effect. That sounds like there's karis between her and the other brothers. That's why there's no Kiddushin activated with a Chayavi krisis. Well, now it sounds like we're following Rish Lakish. That all brothers, aside from Shimon, all brothers are considered an ordinary erva to this woman. How do we reconcile the braisa? We had one teretz yesterday. Now we're going to present two additional proposals to answer the braisa. Says the Gemara on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, on the first line, Ravashi Sover L'Kirish Lakish. Ravashi actually held L'Kirish Lakish. He followed his view that we don't consider all the brothers as though they have participated in the chalitza process. Only Shimon did it, but everybody else is a regular brother. Everybody else has karis between themselves and the yevama. Umetaris l'krab Shimon, and he interpreted, he answered the conflicting elements in the braisa in following the Reb Shimon shita. Reb Shimon actually is going to be discussed later in the second parak. We'll get to it in a moment. So somehow he applied Reb Shimon's shita to answer the kasha in the braisa. That's one approach. Ravina savalik Rabbi Yochanan. Ravina followed Rabbi Yochanan. Shimon represents the other brothers. It's as though they all experienced chalitza, in which case there's only a lav between her and the other brothers as well. Umetaretz lak Rabbanon. How did he answer the steer in the Braisa? He applied Rabbanon shit. We'll see in a second. Okay, so we have two pshatim in the Braisa. One, Rish Lakish Rab Shimon. The other one, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbanon. Explains the Gemara. Rab Ashi sava lak Rish Lakish. Rab Ashi was following Rish Lakish. Umetaretz lak Rab Shimon. And he interpreted the Braisa with Rab Shimon as follows. So the Braisa begins. Ha chaylets leave him to. Reuven passes away, leaving behind Rachel. Shimon does the chalitza, and he has some brothers nearby, Levi and Yehuda, who did not do chalitza. The chazer v'kitcha, Shimon was re-mekadesh. He remarried this isha, which of course is an asur. Once you do chalitza, you may not remarry. And then he passes away. What happens now? Says the Braisa, tzricha chalitza menach. Levi or Yehuda need to do chalitza with this woman. Question was, well, according to Reish Lakish, all brothers, aside from Shimon, are considered chayavi krisis with this isha, who's their sister-in-law. She's not considered a yevama for them because they didn't get involved with her, they didn't do chalitza with her, and once Shimon did chalitza, her yevama status expired with respect to the other brothers. Karis doesn't get chalitza or yevam; she's a regular erava. Answer is as follows. Man Achen, who are these brothers? Achen Hayiloidim, brothers who came about later, who were born later, at a later date. Keman K'Reb Shimon. Well, following Reb Shimon, who holds that if a brother arrives at a later date, after Shimon already did the Chalitza to Rachel, suddenly Levi shows up on the scene. A new brother, who never saw Rachel married to Reuven. He never experienced that part of her life. He only came later. He came once. She was already dressed by Shimon. She was already through the chalitza experience with Shimon. In this case, says Rabbi Shimon, Levi is free to marry this yevama. You see, in our Mishnah that base, we had an isha who's called Eishes Achiv Shloi Haya Baylame, his brother's widow. Whom he never saw, the brother whom he never saw. He never lived at the same time as him. He was born after his brother's passing. He's not a Yibum candidate. He's not suitable for doing Yibum, because he didn't live together with his brother at the same time. This is a topic that will be discussed at great length in the beginning of the second parak. So Rabbanon hold that even if the newly arrived brother came after the Yavama had been taken care of, had been looked after by some other brother. So say Reuben passes away, leaving behind Rachel. Shimon, the surviving brother, whom he saw, right, who lived together with Reuben, same time, does Yivam to Rachel. Then Levi is born. What happens now? According to Rabbanon, even when Shimon passes away, Rachel may not marry Levi. There's no Yivam between them because Levi never experienced Reuven's lifetime. He was never here during Reuven's lifetime, in which case Rachel to him is an erva. Even though, by the time he came, Reuven was no longer. In fact, Rachel was already married to Shimon. It's irrelevant. The fact is, Rachel carries with her that history. She was Reuven's former wife. She was formerly Reuven's wife. And Reuven vis-a-vis Levi is Lehoya Bailamet. And therefore, Rachel, even upon Shimon's passing, he may not proceed to marry Levi. What does Reb Shimon holds? Well, it depends what happened. It depends when Levi showed up. If Levi came before Shimon was Miyabin Rachel, Reuven's wife, Reuven who he never saw, right? Who Levi never saw. Then sure, he has to treat her like an Eshes Achiv Shloi Hayu Beilamin, because he never experienced Reuven. But if he arrives after Shimon addressed Rachel, he was Miyabim or Chaylitz, such as in our case, he was Chaylitz, Rachel, Eshes Reuven. And afterwards, he arrives on the scene. He's free to be Miyabim Rachel when Shimon passes away, because he doesn't have to reckon with the fact that she was formerly married to Reuven. He never saw that. He never experienced that. He could just disregard that element. Man Achen. Achen Hayiloidim Kemant K'Reb Shimon. So Reuven passed away. Shimon did Chalitza. And then Yiloidim, we have a newly arrived brother who came after that Kedushin. Right? Shimon was Chalitz, then did Kedushin. He wasn't allowed to, but he did it anyways. And then Shimon passes away. Levi came about during Shimon's lifetime. He doesn't have to reckon with the fact that she was once married to Reuben, who he never saw. So he can be Mechayitz. He can be Chayitz Rachel. Why can't he do Yibam? Tosfos discusses that. That's the first halacha in the Brisa. Brisa continues. Amad echad mina anayladim v'kitcha. But suppose one of Shimon's siblings, who was around when Shimon was Mekadosh's Isha, so they saw Rachel when she was going through the Chalitza process. So they did Kiddushin right now. One of those did Kiddushin. Amad echad min ha-neloidim v'kitcha. They're not allowed to. They have a curse between themselves and Rachel. Because as Rish Lakish tells us, once Shimon does his chalitza, they're off limits. To them, she's like a regular sister-in-law. Ein lo olav klum. So his Kiddushin is totally invalid, worthless. Because you can't apply Kiddushin to an Isha with whom you have a curious situation. Keman Kirish Lakish, Falun Kirish Lakish, who holds that all the other brothers, aside from Reuven, have curious between them and the Yavama. And therefore, Kiddushin doesn't take effect. So this is Rav Ashi's approach to the Brisa. With Falun Kirish Lakish, how could it be that a brother will have to do Chalitza? A late arrival, a brother that came about later. In which case, to him, she's a regular Yavama, after Shimon's passing. Ravina Savlak Rabbi Yechanan. Alternatively, we have another pshat. Ravina follows Rabbi Yechanan with respect to the whole question of chorus and laugh to the other brothers. He says, no, all the brothers have the same halacha. The Yavam, Shimon, or the Chaylitz, in this case, he's merely representing the other brothers. It's as though all siblings participated in the Chalitza. And their relationship with the Sivam is Chayav Elavin, because once you do Chalitza in Amentu, the Mekadosh is a Lav involved. So Karis has expired. She's a Chalitza to all brothers. Umetaris La Alib Rabbanan. And he's going to interpret this Brisa, which seemed to have conflicting halachas, in following with Shitas Rabbanan with respect to that halacha of Eishas Achav Shlo Yeh Be'ilam. Let's see. Let's see how he puts the two things together. It's pretty much going to be the opposite, the reverse of what we just learned in Rav Ashi. Brisa begins, Achayles li vimtoi v'chazer v'kitcher. Reuven passes away. Shimon, the surviving brother, does chalitza to his wife. That's it. Then he comes back and does kedushin, which of course is aser. And then Shimon passes away. Tzricha chalitza v'na'achan. Chalitza is required from any one of the surviving siblings. Man Achim, which brother are we speaking about? Achim Hanayladin, the ones that were here during the Chalitza, come out Rabbi Yechon, like Rabbi Yechon, who says that all brothers have participated, so to speak, in the Chalitza, in which case, she's not an erva to them. She's a Chayav Alavin. Because after Chalitza, you may not marry. It's a lav. Okay, but Chalitza is required in the case of Chayav Alavin. That's halacha number one. Brisa continues. Amad echad min hayiloidim v'kitcha. Now, suppose a new brother arrived on the scene after Shimon was mekadosh this chalutza. So Levi arrives at a later date when she's already part of Shimon's household, and then Shimon passes away, and Levi gets up and does kedushin. Ein lo olav klum. It's worthless. Kaman karabban, like rabban, and hold that this is called eishes achav shlo yehi be'ilam, even though he arrived after she's been addressed, she's been incorporated into Shimon's household. We can't disregard the fact that she was once married to Reuben, whom Levi didn't see. So there's chorus between them. It's like a regular sister-in-law. And the kedushin doesn't work. So bottom line is, we had a brisa with conflicting halachis. We had two pshatim to answer the brisa. Itma we learned. Habal yivama. Reuben passes away, leaving behind Rachel Yavama. Shimon does Yibam. So he lives with her as married, he's Mekayim, he says Yibam. So just as we had a discussion between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish regarding Chalitza, does he represent or is it his own independent interaction? The same applies to Yibam. Same question. one of those Yibam, is he doing his own thing, or is he representing all the other brothers? Habal Yivamo. Uba Echad Ben Achan Hatzarasa. And his sibling does the same to the other Yibam, to Leah. There's Rachel and Leah, and typically you only do Yibam to one member of the household. Rashi says there's an Aseh, not allowed to. Vayis Echad Uboina, Vein Boina Beis Batim. It's an Aseh. Sounds like a lav, but it's a lav which is drawn out of an assay, so it has a din of an assay. So what happens if his sibling, his other brother, does Yibam to the Tzara? Question is, what's involved? Is it only assay? It's as though he did Yibam to Rachel, and now he's doing Yibam again, he's doing an assay, or is it worse than that? Is she a regular sister-in-law to him? Because he wasn't involved in Yibam, it was his brother who did the Yibam. Same shayla, the same discussion, and pretty much the same result as the machlekes bechalitz. Pligibar of Achar Ravina, machlekes between these two. Chad Omar bekaris, one says the brother gets karis. She's a sister-in-law. He had no business marrying a sister-in-law. V'chad Omar ba'asei. And the other Omar says, no, there's only an asei. Madama bekaris, the one that holds karis, Rish Lakish. He follows Rish Lakish, that, sure, Shimon who did the first Yibam, he can't proceed. If he proceeds further, he marries a tzar, he has an Isra Aseh, but the brothers, they never did Yibam at all. For them, she's just a sister-in-law, Karis. The one that says Aseh, that's Rabbi Yechanan. When Shimon does Yibam, he represents the brothers. He says, oh, they also did Yibam. Doing Yibam twice involves an Aseh. Amar Vida Marav. You may remember back on Daf Gimel, the Gemara had a diak in the Mishnah, so although we only have 15 in the Mishnah, but we can add 1, 2, 3, 4, we can add a couple more. Here goes. Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, Sora Asoita Asura. Rashi says, Asoita here is speaking where a married woman was Mezana, and there were Edom who would testify. For some reason there was no Misa, maybe Bezman Azeh. In any case, that's the term Soita. Anisha who was Mezana, and then her husband passes away without children. Just as she will not have Yibam done to her, the Tzora as well. That's a Chiddush. We treat her like an Erva to the brother, to the Yavam. Tzora Soita Asura. Why? My time, Tumok Siva Karayis. The Pasuk says, Bamidbar Hei, in Pashas Nasa, in the Pasha of Soita, V'nistra V'hi Nitma, Lashon Tuma, to describe what happened. Which is similar to the lashon used by a rais, al titama b'chal elam, just like an erva, is disqualified from yibam herself and her tzara, the entire household is disqualified. Same applies to a soita. Maser of Chizda, how can you say that? Rabbi Shimon Eimer was speaking in a case where a married woman's husband left town. She got word that he passed away. She was an aide, and she thought he passed away. She remarried. It turns up that the husband himself turns up. Here he is. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, Chacham applied a penalty. They penalized the Isha. You should have been more careful. You should have investigated better before you married. She has to leave both husbands. And what happens if the husband passes away? Rab Shimon Omer bi'asa eichalitzasa me'achav shal rishim peter tzarasa. Suppose there are two married women here, married to the same man. And he passed away. Right, after she mistakenly married somebody else. So technically she's still married to him. And then he passed away, so his brother, Achav Shalrishon, the brother of the first husband, the real legitimate husband, he does Bio Chalitza to the Yivama, Pater Tzarasa, it works. It addresses the Yivama, it exempts the Tzara. It's a proper Yibam, a proper Chalitza. Now Rashi points out, of course, the Chachamim disagree. They say the Isha herself can't have Yibam, but there's no question that the Tzara can have Yibam Achalitza. That's agreed upon by Yoda. The Tzara is not disqualified. That's a Kashan Rav who says that a Soita is treated like an Erva, which affects herself and her Tzara. Amalach Rav. Rav responds, how can you compare? Amin Alach Ano Soita Dareis. I discuss a Soita Min HaTorah. Rashi says, Shezinza V'HaTorah Ashrabo. We're talking about Isha who did Znos. Vadai. You're comparing it to a case of an Isha mistakenly married and In the Torah, there's nothing wrong, but in the Rabbanon, even though she was an Aynes, it wasn't her fault, she wasn't really negligent, the Chachamim took her to task, she should have been more careful. That's a different story. And in that case, of course, Chalitza, Yibam is in place, at least by the Tzara. But the Ka'arla, the one who asked the question, my Ka'arla, what was he thinking to compare the two? Because he figured, true, it's the Rabbanon, but called the Tikkun Rabbanon. Typically, when the Rabbanon establish a takana, ke'en deraisa tikkun, it mirrors, it follows the same track as a deraisa, and if a soita deraisa is considered an erva with respect to yibam, same would apply to this case. And therefore, it was a good comparison. Masa Rav Ashi. Here's another kasha on Rav. Nichna sa'imay l'seisr. So he warned his wife, don't go into hiding. Don't enter a private area with this man. She went into hiding and remained there long enough to do the avir. Asur lebeisa, she can't go back to her husband. Asur lechol betruma, she's disqualified from truma. Vimeis, if this man passes away without children. There's no yibum. As the Gemara explains in Saita, but certainly chalitza we see works. That's a kashan rav who considers her to be an erva without any yibum or chalitza obligations. Once again, Rav responds, Omlach Rav, Aminalach, Anosoyta Vadei. So I was discussing an Isha, who's definitely a Soyta, which means she did Znus. The Amr says, At Soyta Safek, you're comparing it to an uncertain Soyta, a case where he suspected that she did something wrong. There's no Adam. And certainly in that case, we can't treat her like an erva. What's the difference? What would be the difference between a soita vadai where we had loshen tuma, v'nistra v'hine tuma, right? Soita safek nami tuma ksivabe. Even by a safek, we have the same loshen tuma. How do you know this? Listen to the b'ris. Rabbi Yisim min kippur aymer. Mishum Rabbi Lezer. Hamachse grishos. If one remarried his divorcee, is he allowed to do that? Min ha'nesu'in, if she's already remarried, she had already married somebody else, asura, he can't remarry that woman. Min ha'irisin muteris, but if she only got engaged to somebody, he can remarry her. Mishum shenemar, acharei asura tamo. Right, the pasuk says, after the divorce, she went, v'holcha v'hoysa li'ish acher, lo yuchal ba'la rishen, the former husband can't take her back once she was taken up by somebody else. Achrei shatamo means, she says nivala. She lived as married with the second man. It's too late. Erison is okay. V'chacham ha'imrim, no, achazu, whether it was only engaged, v'achazu, or married, either way, whether married, even engaged, asura, one may not remarry his divorcee. Elama ani mekayim, achrei shatamo. So what then does the pasuk mean, hutama, which sounds like it's more than just engaged. There was actually involved. There was involvement between the couple. There was bia. There was marriage. No, it's not referring to this case at all. L'rabba is soita shenistra. The pasuk here is referring to a different story. An ish who strayed, who went into hiding with a stranger. The Torah is telling you that this Isha cannot go back to her husband. So bottom line is, you learn from this pasuk that even a suffix soita is considered tumah. Right? That was the kashan on Rav. Rav tells us that a soita vade, an Isha who vade did znus, is considered an erva, is exempt from yibam, from chalitza. So we had a kasha, what about this Mishnah? It was a suffix, what she did over there with his husband, with his man, she gets chalitza. Rab says, what do you mean? That's a suffix. Suffix is not so severe. Can't compare it to a vade. Gemara came back with a kash. No, we see that even a suffix soita has the term tuma attached to her. Chacham say, achra hi usher tama is referring to a soita shenistra. Doesn't say she did znus, she went into hiding. She went into a private place with this man. And she's called tama. And says the Gemara, my nistra nivala. Even though the Bryce is using the word nistra, she was concealed with this man, it means Nivaladu, they actually did an Avira. So it's a site of Vada. And that's why she's Tami. Vamai Karli Nistra, why did the Brisa use this term Nistra? Mishlishna Ma'alya Nakat. We want to use dignified language. But of course, we're speaking that there was an actual Avira done. Nivala? If there was an Avira done, you don't need this Pasuk. You already have the other Pasuk in Pashas Nasai. Tuma Behet Yuksibba. Vinistra Vihidatmo. We have a Lashon Tuma clearly applied to this Isha. Vinistra Vihidatmo. Why would the Torah have to discuss this again in the parasha of Get, Achrei Asher Tamo, to address the Soita, to say that she can't go back to her husband? Why the repetition? L'meikem alo b'lav, the pasuk of Nistra, the pasuk of Achrei Asher Tamo, is coming to add lav, which we wouldn't otherwise know. If only from the pasuk in Nasai by Soita, Nistra min Tamo. That's in the context of an assay. You can remarry, she can go back to her husband if she didn't do anything wrong, and there's a diyuk, otherwise you can't. You can't. So it's technically an assay, because when we derive a lav, don't do, from a do, that's called an assay. Torah wants to add a lav as well. She got malchus. That's why we have the second pasuk. For Rabbi Yosi ben Akiper, according to Rabbi Yosi ben Akiper, who applied the Lashon Achreihu Sheretamo in reference to the Machzor Grusha Aser Min HaNisuin. He was the one who says that remarrying a divorcee is only a problem if she has married somebody else, but simply engaged wouldn't make him concerned because of the Pasuk Achreihu Sheretamo, which denotes that she's already married somebody else. So according to him, this Pasuk is unavailable for the Soita. Rabbi Yosi ben Akiper, a lav b'soita lesle. You're right. He doesn't have a lav b'soita. Afilu zanoi nami. But even if she actually did znus, she's not supposed to go back to her husband. There's an isra asay based on the pasuk in Pashas Nasai. V'nistra v'nitma. But there's no lav because the pasuk acharei asherotama. Right? Don't remarry. Lo yuchal ba'al rishon acharotama. That lav is referring to Masa Grushasai. My timer. Why is it no lav by this nos, remarrying a soita? Havaya v'ishus ksivba. Because in this pasuk, which speaks about not remarrying this isha who married somebody else, it's clearly speaking about his divorcee who remarried, who went and married somebody else. Not just nos. We're talking about v'holcha v'chisa l'ish acher. V'chisa means kiddushin and Leish Acher, she married him. That's when we had the love. If he was to remarry this Isha. But if it's his married wife, who didn't really go and marry somebody else, she was involved in Avir, inappropriate behavior, even if it was a Vadai, there's no love. There's an Asay, but no love. So bottom line is like this. Rav tells us a Chiddush. We actually have number 16 in the Mishnah. 15 Nashim, here comes the 16th one, Asaita. So we have Reuven and Rachel strays, and she gets involved with a man, and there's a Vadeh Znus that took place with Edom. She's called a Soita. Soita Daraisa, Issa Daraisa, Vadeh. Rav says, since we have the Lashon Vinistra Vinitma, which indicates that Isha got involved in Tumah, we treat her like an Erva, but we also have the term Al Titama Buchal Eilon, just like an Erva. It's disqualified from Yibum, should her husband pass away. The same with a Soita, herself, and her Tzara, disqualified from Yibam. The Gemara does tell us that if it's only a Suffolk, we're not sure exactly what happened, she went into hiding, etc., in that case, this halacha wouldn't apply. And likewise, if it's only a Drabbanon, right, the case where the Isha thought her husband passed away and she remarried, in that case as well, we see that this halacha doesn't apply. It's only by the Vada. Now, we have a Lashon in Pashas Soita, right, in Pashas Nasai, Vinistra Vinitmo, that's Rav's source, that's where we find the Lashon Tumah by the Soita. We also have a Lashon of Tumah in the Parsha of Gerushin, of Get, right, after he divorces, and she went and she married another man, the former husband can't retake her, Acharei Asher Hutar Mo'o. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Kippur, it deals strictly with this Isha who was divorced, indicating to us that the Issa to retake an Isha is only once she married somebody else. That's all the Pasuk is speaking about. Not about Soita, not about Znus. Chacham, on the other hand, learn that this Pasuk, Acharei Asher Tama, is referring to an Isha who is straight. And the husband can't live with her anymore because there's a love. And that's the chiddush of this pasuk over the pasuk in Nasai. Here we have a lav on top of the asay, which is discussed in Pashas Nasai. Let's focus on machzeh grushasay. Ha machzeh grushasay mishenisus umeis. Reuven divorced Rachel. She went and married Shimon, total stranger, not his brother. And then Reuven remarried him, right? He was over on the lav. He remarried him. Hamachta grushasa mishenisus. Umeis, Reuven passes away. Childless. He has Levi, Yehuda, siblings that are potential yavams. They can do yivam. So rasa ma. What happens to the other woman? It would seem from the Gemara that it's clear to us that this Isha herself, who was retaken after she already married a stranger, who committed this Isser, is certainly not a Yibam candidate. That's Pashut. And according to Rabbi Yisrael Kippur, she's not even a candidate for Chalitza. Right? Because according to Rabbi Yisrael Kippur, the Lashon Tumah is applied to this Isha, who was retaken after she had already married. The question is regarding the Tzara. Right? The Shimon remarried his divorcee, Rachel. He had another wife on the side, Leah. He passed away. What happens to Leah? Is she affected by Rachel's situation or not? How strong do we consider Rachel like an Erev? To the point that she'll affect her Tzorah as well? Or not? So let's say according to Rabbanim, we're going to say that Sarah can have Yibam. She herself certainly can't have Yibam. The Gemara later will tell us why. But can the Sarah have Yibam? Now, so what is the Allah? I'll leave with the Rabbi Yosi and a keeper. According to Rabbi Yosi, there's no question. There's no question that the Sarah assumes the same status as the Grusha, who was taken back improperly. Loyalty box is no question. Kivin the Amar Rabbi Yisrael Kippur. Tumah b'machzeh grushasa hu d'chsiva. Because Rabbi Yisrael just told us that the Lashon Tumah applies to machzeh grushasa. And remember, Tumah is very it's very similar to the Lashon by Arayas. So we treat it like an erva. And therefore, tzarasa kamoisa. We treat the other woman just like the grusha. The entire household is disqualified from Yibam. Right? Just like an ordinary Erva. Affects the entire household. Well, you ask, well, the Pasuk says, Te'evahi. She's a domination, she's repulsive. He sounds like we're limiting it to the divorcee herself who was restored. Only she herself is a Te'eva. He, Te'eva, but not the Tzara. No. We can make a different Rasha. He, Te'eva. She is repulsive. Vein by Neata even, but her children not. They're not affected by what she did. Rashi says they're suitable matches for Kehanan. They're not possible Kehanan. Hatzar Rasa Te'eva. But the Tzara is a Te'eva. Because Rachel and Leah in one package deal, in one household. The Erev and the Tzara are both affected by what happened. So according to Rabbi Yisrael Kippur, there's no question. We know the halacha according to him. The Grusha is disqualified completely, and so is the Tzara. Kiti boy lechalib the Rabbanon. Oh, the question applies to the Rabbanon, who seem to disagree. They seem to resist Rabbi Yosi's drasha. So the question is like this: Af agav the Amar Rabbanon tuma b'saydu d'chsiv. Although it appears that according to the Rabbanon, the lashon tuma applies to a saita, not to a machzor grishase, as we just learned. Still and all. You know, there's pshat, and there's remez, there's drush. The drush In the Russia world, we apply it to Soita, but there is still the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Ein mikro yoitzim de pshutai. The Pasuk does not leave its simple meaning. And when you learn the Pesukim of the Parsha of Get, it seems like we're speaking about an Isha who you magarish. You may not remarry her. So there's simple meaning to it too. And perhaps the Pasuk wants to refer to this Isha, the Machzor Grishase, to it as a Tumah as well. In which case, she's disqualified from Yibum, and her Tzara as well can't have Yibum. A Dilma, or perhaps they'll say, no, Kiva the Aker, I Aker. Once we uproot it, once we reapply the Pasuk to something else, we take Achre, Asher, Tamo, and we say it's going on the Saita. I Aker, it's been totally uprooted, disconnected from Machzor Grishasai. And Machzor Grishasai, at least according to Rabbanon, is unrelated to Tumah and would not affect her Tzara. Tzara would have to have Yibum. That's one way to present the Shaila. Ikad Amri. Others had a different approach to this question. Aliba de Rabbanon, like Tiboy, according to Shitas Rabbanon, there's no question, given this Aker, once the Lashon, Achrei Asher Tamah, was disconnected from Machzor Grishasai, it has no lingering effect on her. We don't treat it like an erva, and the tzara at least will have yibum. Kiti boylach. When does the question apply? When do we have this uncertainty? Aliba the rabbeisim and the keeper, according to him, my. How are we going to treat the tzara of the machzor grishas? Afagav the amar rabbeisim and the keeper. Even the rabbeisim tells us that the lashon tumah applies to what? The machzor grishas hayodechsiva applies to this isha, but still we have a miut, which seems to indicate that only she's affected, but not her tzara. Miut rachmana he. Right? It says tayeva he. He Te'eva, Ve'ein Sarasa Te'eva. She's a Te'eva, but not a Tzara. Or Dilma, or you can say, He Te'eva, Ve'ein, but Neha Te'eva. We're coming to salvage the children. They're not affected by what she did. Ha Tzarasa Te'eva, but it's Tzara, who's together with her, the same household. They're on the same plane. She is affected. So we're not sure. Bottom line is, what happens to the Tzara of a Machzor Grishasai? Is there a Yibam? Is there no Yibam? Is there a Chalitza? What's going on? Amalei, so he responded. Who was it? Rav Sheshes. Response to Rav Yehuda. Tanisua, listen to the Mishnah, which will shed light on this topic. Reuven passes away, leaves behind two Yavamis, Rachel and Leah. Shimon is a potential Yavam. So he's faced with two Yavamis. Hoisa achas k'sher, achas psula. One was kosher, one was pasul. We'll see what this is. If he chose to do chalitza, which one should do chalitza to? Chalitza lepsush, do it to the one that's pasul. Because chalitza disqualifies Isha from marrying kohen, so may as well do it to the psula who's already pasul to begin with. If he was choosing to do yibum, miyabim l'kshere, he should be miyabim the Isha who's kasher. Now, what does psula and kshere mean in this context? My kshere, my psula. Ilem kshere, kshere la'alma. Kshera means that she's miyuchas, she's a suitable candidate to marry a kohen. And psula means psula la'alma, likewise means she was pasul to a kohen. Well, he's a Yisrael. What relevance does it have to him? He's a Yavam, a Yisrael. What does he care whether this Isha standing in front of him is kasher or pasul to a kohen? Kivan de l'dedei chazia, since they're both right to him, my nafka limino, what difference does it make to him? Who's the kash, who the pasul? Let him decide. It's his own prerogative. Who he wants to do chalitza to, who yibam. Elalav, apparently the brayso means like this. When we say kshera, it means kshera le. So Rachel is a suitable match for Shimon. And when we say psula, psula le. Le is unsuitable for Shimon. What are we speaking about? What's wrong with them? Mind you, machzor grishasa. Apparently, we're speaking about such a case where Reuven, this departed brother, took back his divorcee. Right? So, he left behind Rachel and Leah. Rachel was the Machzor Grishasai. So now when Reuven passes away, Shimon has a problem with Rachel. Rachel is unsuitable because she's a Grusha who's taken back by his brother Reuven. So that's the case of the Mishnah. Reuven was Megarish Rachel, remarried her, passed away, leaving behind Rachel and Leah. And Shimon the Yavam is faced with Rachel, who's Asa to him, and with Leah, who's Mutta to him. Now, how do we know we're speaking about this case? So Rashi says, because if it's just a simple, plain, standard Chayev Elavin, like Almana to Kohen Gadol, etc., there's no Chiddush in the Mishnah. We know that. It's a whole discussion later in the Masechta. There's no need to discuss what happens if an Isha with whom you have a Lavin relationship falls to you. Let's discuss later. Apparently it's a Chiddush. There's some sort of Chiddush embedded in this Mishnah. And we assume it's this Chiddush. We're speaking about a case of a Machzor Grushasa. Uktani, what does the Brisa's Mishnah say? If you're going to do Yibum, you have to do it to Leah, who's not the Grusha. So it's pretty clear from the Mishnah that a Tzor of a Machzor Grushasa is Mutali Yibum. That answers our question. No, perhaps when we say Kshero Psula, we're referring to the broad concept of Kasher. She's a Miyucha, she can marry a Kayin. Psula means Psula Alma, she can't marry a Kayin. What about your question? Since she's right to him, he's a Yisrael, what relevance does it have to him? What difference does it make? You're right. To him it makes no difference. But be considerate. That's the lesson that the Mishnah is telling us. In this very Mishnah, Rebbe teaches us a profound lesson in being considerate and having avos Yisrael, means sensitive to the issue. You see, to him personally, it makes no difference. Rachel and Leah are both suitable candidates for Chalitza or Yibam. But it so happens to be that Rachel has some baggage that she's carrying into the Yibam situation. She's already a Grusha from way back. She's an Almana. In which case, she can't marry a Kayin Gadol or a Kayin Hedyot. So when you do the Chalitza, do it to the Isha who's already disqualified from marrying a Kayin. Don't dump it on Leah, who's right now going to become disqualified and not ready for a Kayin. May as well. Be considerate. Tam Rabbi Yosef, Kanshan a Rebbe. In this mission, Rebbe tells us a profound thing. Lo yishpach adam eibur. If you have leftover drinking water from your well, don't just spill it out. Lo yishpach adam eibur v'achirim tzricham lehem when others need it. So sure, this Yavam couldn't kill. Makes no difference to him who he does chalitza to, but if you're going to do chalitza, may as well do it to the one that's already possible, in which case you're not harming the tzara unnecessarily. And she can go and marry a Kohen now. So that's the lesson contained in this Mishnah. But we're not speaking about a Machzor Grushasai, and therefore has no relevance to our Shail, to our Sukkah. To Ashma, here comes another Raya. A Machzor Grushasai, Misha Nisus. Reuven divorced Rachel, remarried her after she had already married a stranger, which of course is an Isser. And then Reuven passes away. He v'tzarasa chaletzis. So Rachel, the Grusha, who is remarried, and Leah, the other wife, they both need chalitza. He v'tzarasa sakataitach, both need chalitza. You have two yivamis in one household. You do yibum or chalitza to one or the other, not to both. Ela ema, rather you have to modify the brice. Oihi oitzarasa. Chalitza is applied either to Rachel, the Grusha, or Leah, the other wife. It's pretty clear. The Tzoras Masagu Shasai only has Chalitza, no Yibum. That's a riot to our Shaila. Says the Gemara Valav Terutzika Matar Tisla. Aren't you, in any case, modifying the Brisa? Right? It didn't work. You had to modify it somewhat. So modify it a bit differently, in a way where you will not have conclusion regarding our question. Terutzachi, interpret it as follows. Brisa is speaking about a Machzor Grushasai, he passes away, he chaletzes, so the Machzor Grushasai, the Grusha herself gets chalitza, tzorasa oi chaletzes, oi misyabemes, the tzor is unaffected, she can get chalitza or yibam. So perhaps that's the halach. The tzor is unaffected by the Grusha, so we're not sure, we're not really concluding one way or the other. Continues the Gemara on the same topic. Om Rab Chir Bar Abba, I want to tell you about Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon, boy, he had a shayla. Reuven returns his divorcee after she had already married a stranger. So he remarried Rachel, and he had Leah on the side as well. He passed away. So Rasa Ma, what happens to Leah? Does she go to Yibum or not? Is she affected by the Grusha or not? Amar Leah, Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Ami tells him, Why are you focusing on the tzara? Tiboy lachi gufa. Ask regarding the grusha herself. What happens to her? Does she fall to yibum or not? Right, according to Rabbanon, there is no pasuk of tumah by the master grusha. So why are you assuming that the grusha herself is disqualified from yibum? Oh, he gufa lachi boy, says Rabbi Yechon. The grusha herself, there's no question. No question in my mind that she can't have yibum. Because of the kavachim, b'mutala Rashi says is the husband, Reuven, her husband, her first husband. He divorced her. She married a stranger. Now he takes her back. So she became asa to Reuven when she remarried to that stranger, right? So we see a person who was at one point muta became asa in this isha. But asa lalakolshke, and certainly Reuven's brother Shimon, who was Asa and Rachel from day one, as soon as she married Reuben, sister-in-law. So she was Asa to him from the get-go, of course, that Issa stays in place, and even though Reuben remarried her after divorcing and then passed away, she's now sort of a Yivama. No, Shimon remains be Issa through this Kavachan. There's no question that she's off the table. Questions regarding the Tzara, Leah, the other wife. Is she affected by Rachel or not? Should we say that this kavachim, which disqualifies Rachel from Yibam, sort of makes her like an erva, which case it spills over to the entire household and affects Leah as well, or not? So it certainly affects her. The question is regarding the tzar. That's one version of Rabbi Yechon and Shaila. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Mas Nihochi, he had a different version. Amar b'chei ba'abo, boy Rabbi Yechon, I want to tell you a Shaila presented by Rabbi Yechon. Hamach se grushase mishin is a small. Reuven remarried his divorcee. What happens now? Amalei Rab Amis. Rab Amis asks him, "Why are you focusing only on her? What about the tzara? Maybe she's also affected." He answers, "Tzara lekem boyli. I have no question that the tzara is unaffected. The loy olam kavochemel mitchi tzara. Rachel is affected because of the kavochemel you just had, but she's not turned into an erva because of the kavochemel. It doesn't affect her tzara. So there's no question that tzara needs yibum." The question is regarding the Isha herself, who is a Grusha. Mai, what happens to her Yibam? Shall we apply this Kavachayim even to push away the mitzvah's Yibam? Is it strong enough to do that? Perhaps it's a nice Kavachayim, but not to the point of disqualifying her from Yibam. Amalei. So, I guess it was Ramami responding to Rabbi Yechonon. Tani Suha, I'll prove to you the halacha from a Mishnah. This is very similar to the discussion we had earlier. The Mishnah says, Haisa achas k'sher achas psula. So a Yavam is faced with two Yavamites, one is kasha, one is pasul. Which one should he apply the chalitza to? Maya chaylis the chaylis the psula. If he was choosing to do chalitza, let him do it to the isha that's already pasul. Maya miyavim, if he was doing yibum, miyavim l'ksher, do it to the isha who's kasha. My k'sher, my psula. What do these terms mean? Ile m'ksher, k'sher la alma. Kasha means she's kasha to marry a kayin. Psula means psula alma. She's disqualified from marrying a kayin. What difference does it make to the yavam who's Yisrael? Kivin the dechazev, if she's right to him, my nafka, let me know. What difference does it make to him whether or not she's suitable for a kayin? Elalav, apparently k'sher means k'sher le, that Rachel is suitable for him. Psula, when we say psula, means the other lady is psula, she's disqualified, she can't marry him. My niya, why? What's wrong with her? Machsa grishasa, because his brother remarried a divorcee. So one of them was a divorcee, one of them not. Uktani, what does the Mishnah say? Maya miyabim, miyabim lakshera. So yibam, you do to the one that's mutter to you. Apparently, a tzara of a divorcee is mutter. Why? No. Kshera la alma, psula la alma. Kshera doesn't mean to him personally, it means to the general public. The Ka'amris, well, what about your Kasha? Kivan the Dechaziah, if she's right to him, he's a Yisrael, doesn't pertain to him. My Nafka, let me know. Why is he reckoning with these factors? Ben Adam Lechaver, Aves Yisrael. Be considerate. Mishum de Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef, right? Kol Shana Rebbe. Rebbe teaches us, L'ish Bechadam Eber, don't spill out good quality water. V'achirim Tzrichim Lehem, when others need it. So we're speaking with Adam Achzak Rishasai. They're both Kasha to Shimon. The problem is one of them is already a grusha or chalitza from beforehand, and she's disqualified to from marrying a kohen. So do the chalitza to that isha rather than harming the other isha's prospects of ever marrying a kohen. So in any case, we're not speaking machzik grusha, so it has no relevance to our discussion. Tashma, here comes the raya from the next price that we already had before. Hamachzor grusha se mishemnisis. One remarries his grusha, he betzarasa chaletzis. So he, she, meaning let's say Rachel and the tzara Leia, both go through chalitza. He betzarasa zakataita. Why would two Nashim coming from the same household require chalitza? It's one or the other. Aleima rather interpret as follows: Oyhi oytzarasa, whether Rachel or Leia, chalitza applies. Oh, so here you go. You see that A, the Machzor Grusha said the Isha herself can't have Yibam. That's a right to that Shaila. Only Chalitza works, right? Oyhi Oytzarasa get Chalitza. She's also for Yibam. And also you see that the Tzor is affected as well, and she can also only have Yibam. So it's a right to both questions. Falaf Terutza Kumatatza, but aren't you, in any case, modifying the Brayasa? So modify it a bit differently. Once you're modifying it, you can do it in a way which will be compatible with my shaylist. Teretz Hachi interpreted as follows: He chaylets it. Sure, the grusha herself, because of that kavochemer, is unsuitable. She's disqualified from yibam. Only chalitza can apply to her. But sarasa, the other wife, is not affected. Ay chaylets it. I mean, perhaps either all works, either chalitza or yibam. In any case, we don't have a conclusion. We have a clarity when it comes to the tzara. But it's pretty clear from the Braisa that the Grusha herself cannot do Yibam. It would seem that it's based on the Kal V'chaim that we mentioned earlier. Okay, so bottom line is, we learned about Braisa, we had conflicting halachis, we had two suggestions, one followed Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, one Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish was the one who says that only the brother who actually proceeded with the Yibam or Chalitza gets that special status, in which case remarrying after the chalitza involves a lav, remarrying after the yibam, remarrying the other tzara after the yibam involves an asay, but the other brothers, they're just plain brothers, and there's a curse between them and the yivamis. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, it's as though they all experienced the chalitza and the yibam, and they're all downgraded from curse to lav or to asay. Rav tells us, soita vaday is considered like an erva, in which case she and her tzara are disqualified from Yibam. Then we ran into a sugya about Machzor Grushasa. So in the pasuk of Machzor Grushasa, we have the term Tuma, Achorei Shor Tama, which according to Rabbi Yisrael Kippur, is referring strictly to the Machzor Grushasa, to tell us that one may not remarry his divorcee after she has remarried somebody else. That's all. Mina nesuin, but mina erisin, if she's only engaged to somebody else, that's not called achrei hasheru tamo, which indicates beila, marriage. So one can is free to remarry that grusha. Whereas the chachamim learn that the lashon achrei hasheru tamo is referring to a soita, an isha who was strayed from her husband. She was mizana, and basically we end up with two psukim speaking about the same issue, where the pasuk in Parshas Nosoi, v'nistra v'nitma, it's coming to tell us that one may not continue living with a soita, that's an isra asei, and we have this pasuk of achrei asher tamo, don't remarry this, don't retake this isha, that's a lav applied to a soita. What happens in a yibam context with a machzor grushasa? So he retook his divorcee. What happens regarding yibam? So now, according to Rabbi Yisrael Kippur, it's pasha to us that the grusha herself is off the table because she's like an erva, because the pasuk achrei asheru tamo lashon tuma is applicable to this isha. It's like an erva, so she's certainly affected. No yibum or chalitza. The rabban, however, who took this pasuk and applied it to the soita, according to them, we're not sure what happens to the machzor grushasa in a yibum context. According to the conclusion of the gemara at the Maskana, we do have a Kal V'chaimer, that even according to Chachamim, we're going to disqualify the Machzor Grushasa from Yibam. So there's certainly no Yibam, but there is Chalitza. And one remaining question is, what happens to the Tzora of this Isha? Does she have the same status as the Grusha herself? So according to basically a keeper, just like the Grusha herself will not have Yibam or Chalitza, perhaps the Tzora will have the same story. And according to Rabbanan, the Grusha herself that has no Yibam, but has Chalitza, perhaps that will be applicable to the Tzara as well. Only Chalitza without Yibam. All the best to you and much Hatzlacha.